You are listening to a Shine Light podcast production. Everyone has a Jeff Buckley story. And now your host, Jeff Haley.
Well, hello to everyone. This is episode 6. And today we have a real Jeff Buckley story from my old friend Chris Garagus. Chris was in a band in Austin called Doghouse, and we played in a lot of the same venues in the 90s. I really enjoyed hearing this story. It's unforgettable. Once you hear this, you will not forget it. So here's Chris Garagus with Everyone Has a Jeff Buckley Story.
Do I have a Jeff Buckley story? Well, yeah, doesn't everybody? Mine goes like this. So I met him before I knew anything about him or had even heard a note of his music, for that matter. This was August 1993 in Austin, Texas. I was in a band called Doghouse with Charlie Gennari and Jason Frost when Peg Miller from a venue called the Chicago House called. We played there all the time. So Peg said, "Hey, Sony's bringing this kid to town and wants him to play between several of our acts for exposure. He's supposed to be a big deal. Sela is opening, then Kevin Gant, this guy Jeff Buckley, and then y'all. Are you in?" Of course we were. So we knew a little bit about his dad and were curious about Jeff, but actually we were more into the idea that record business people might be in the room and that it could lead to something. So we made sure all our people knew it was a big deal and got ready for the gig. A few weeks later, on the day of the show, we got there early to get things dialed in. We were finishing our sound check when a couple of guys walked in. One, a younger guy, good looking, wearing this pricey looking denim suit thing, kind of more pop star looking than the local slacker uniform we were used to, so he kind of stood out. So the denim guy walks up and says, "Hi, I'm Jeff." I said, "Of course you are. Good to meet you, man." We all made small talk for a little bit and then got out of the way so he could do his sound check. So his rig was pretty simple, just a mic, a little Fender amp, and that soon-to-be-familiar Telecaster of his with a mirror pickguard. Jeff ran through a few tunes. I can't remember what he played, but he did get our attention. That was the first time anybody in the room had ever heard him. So it looked like we were in for an interesting night. So soon it was showtime. Sela was up first, and she was awesome. She always is. Kevin Gant was up next. I didn't catch much of his set, but I saw enough to see that he also delivered the goods that night. Now, the reason I didn't see much of Kevin's show was that toward the end of Sela's set, we were hanging in the back of the room when Charlie, our drummer, leaned over to Jeff and said, "Hey, we're going out to the van to warm up. Do you want to go?" Jeff was like, "Yeah, that's awesome. Let's go." But it turned out that the guy he showed up with earlier was his road manager, and he wasn't too keen on the idea. Apparently, we found out Jeff had punctuality issues, and so the manager just wasn't having it. So Jeff actually pleaded with the guy for a bit, and finally he gave in. But he was very clear with the rest of us: get this guy back on time. So out in the van, we ran through a few scales and then a tune or two. I haven't got a clue what we sang, but I do remember clearly that Jeff instantly found his place with us. It seemed pretty effortless on his part, if you can imagine that. Now, we were a somewhat Beatles-influenced band, so lots of harmonies. And whatever we sang, Jeff was right there with us, mostly in the upper register and hitting some intervals that we hadn't really thought of yet. Vocals and harmonies were kind of our thing. We thought we were pretty all right, but Jeff just took us to a whole new level. It really was an incredible moment. At one point, I looked over at Jeff and said, "Man, this is awesome. What do you think about joining our band?" He got kind of quiet and said, "Yeah, well, I kind of got my thing going." We all busted out laughing. I said, "Sorry, man, just messing with you." But of course, part of me wasn't. At that point, it was time to get Jeff back to the show. Back inside, Kevin was killing it and the crowd was eating it up. Now, to give you an idea, the Chicago House was this cool little performance space just off 6th Street in downtown Austin. Maybe 70 theater-style seats in the round. They hosted open mics, singer-songwriters, and small theater productions, that kind of thing. They had a strict shut-your-mouth policy while anyone was on stage, so it was very reverent and even church-like at times. Kind of perfect for someone like Jeff, as we were about to find out. Finally, it was Jeff's turn. The audience was primed. Peg introduced Jeff, he walked up to the mic, and the room went silent. Any awkwardness or uncertainty on his part was gone. This was clearly his domain. His voice, his playing, his dynamics, Everything was captivating, but at the same time, he wasn't playing catchy little three-minute pop tunes. There weren't really a lot of hooks, and he certainly wasn't sticking to any kind of a script. I think some of the best music starts out like that, more challenging up front, and it grows on you over time, but it's going to take a while. For me, this was going to be some of that. I mean, he definitely poured the slab, but getting Jeff was going to be more of a process than an event.
They say everything can be replaced, that every distance is not near. So I remember everything of every man that put me here. I see my light come shining from the west down to the east. Any day now, any day now, I shall be released.
So technically, Jeff opened for us. I mean, that's not really what happened, of course. This was his show, but we still had our set to play. If that show had happened even just a few months later, I'm sure the idea of following him would have been pretty daunting. Fortunately, though, it didn't, and we were still somewhat oblivious, so we were fine and ready to go. So we got up and kicked off our set. We were in good form that night, and thanks to everything that came before, the crowd was too. Everything was coming off even better than we had expected. But then, about a song or two from the end of our set, Jeff jumped up on stage and said, "Hey, man, this is awesome." Remember, we didn't really know that he was Jeff Buckley yet. So I thanked him, of course, but was actually hoping he'd sit back down so we could finish our set. But Jeff said, "Hey, let's jam something. What do you guys know that I know? Let's play some Zeppelin, something cool like that." But we didn't know any Zeppelin. So part of our shtick was to take a silly old song, rock it out, put some harmonies on it. So the covers that we did know were just these corny old tunes, songs like Love Potion Number 9, Secret Agent Man, and Heart of Gold, that kind of thing. So we didn't know anything that he knew, but he was on stage and we needed to figure something out. So Charlie says, "Hey, let's do Fever by Peggy Lee." But Jeff didn't know the lyrics, so Charlie was going to feed him the lines as we went. Someone counted it off and we jammed a little blues at the front while Jeff got up to speed. Sort of. So we got through about a verse, but it wasn't really clicking, so Jeff abandoned the lyrics and just started scatting instead. It was turning into more and more of a train wreck by the minute, but I was thinking, that's cool, we'll just do another tune and go out on a high note. Instead, what happened was, at the messy end of this Fever debacle, Jeff grabbed the mic and yelled, "Thank you, Austin, good night!" In my head, I was like, dude, your thank you goodnight was a while ago. But the crowd was going crazy and Jeff was jumping up and down, thanking us and hugging us. I mean, you couldn't really stay mad at that. What are you going to do? It was awesome. So we thanked our friends, said goodnight to Jeff, loaded up our gear, and that was that. I've read and heard a lot about him since then, so my perception is different, of course. Now he's a legend, but that night he was just a dude. I mean, he was already Jeff Buckley. He'd done the work and knew where he was going, but none of us really knew it yet. I sure didn't. That night, he was an eager kind of dorky kid who just wanted to be liked, kind of like us. To be honest, I don't think everybody got it. Maybe a few did. It was clear that something special was going on, but he was still a little out of context for a lot of us. That said, most, if not all, of the Undecided changed their tune the moment Grace came out a few months later. By that point, we were already fans and were psyched to have been included. But Grace was a whole different thing. Hearing the record rewrote a lot of what went on that night for us. It's obvious now that we were in the room with greatness. We just didn't know it. Not yet, anyway. It wouldn't be long, though. So that's my Jeff Buckley story. What's yours?
Say every man needs protection. They say that every man must fall. Yet I swear I see my reflection. somewhere so high above this world.
You've been listening to Shine Light Podcasts. If you like what you've heard, please hit the subscribe button and tell your friends.